Good morning, everyone.
Morning, Mayor Clark.
Let me call the council meeting to order. You have an agenda that's been circulated. You've also been circulated with another item 11-2, and the bursary selection committee. Are there any other additions, deletions from the agenda? If not, I'd entertain a motion to approve it as Councillor Inglis, seconded by Councillor Fisk. All in favor? It's unanimous, and thank you. I'd like to call on Corporal Sandy Merrill to come forward and give the RCMP report. Staff Sergeant McDougal has moved now to...
Not yet.
Better climb.
Not yet. Good morning.
Good morning.
Mr. Mayor, Councillors. I think if you've all received the report, I think our numbers are up a little bit of what we've been doing. I think mostly due to an increase in traffic enforcement that we've kind of made a priority. I'll just briefly go over a few of the investigations. A 54-year-old male was arrested and charged for assault on a 16-year-old boy. That's currently before the court. There is the report of a 911 fire outbuilding in Milton. It was just an outbuilding. Things were taken care of very swiftly, and no further damage. We continue to get a number of internet complaints of internet pornography and interactions between young people and adults. And we have another complaint of that, of a 10-year-old having correspondence with an unknown person on the internet. That's currently being investigated. A report of a disturbance in Port Medway. Patrol made an information provided that the suspect had been drinking and assaulted another male. A 44-year-old male was arrested and charged and subsequently sentenced to 3 months in jail. A 21-year-old male was stopped for speeding. A pipe was in plain view, smell of marijuana from the vehicle, and he was arrested. 5 grams of marijuana seized along with paraphernalia. 47-year-old female was stopped for speeding. Marijuana was also detected, and subject was arrested, and marijuana found in the pockets of her shorts and purse. Information was received of marijuana cultivation on Old Garden Road across from the row of cabins known as Dodge City. Area searched as it was Crown land. Three nearly mature plants located. They were seized for destruction. No charges, of course. We don't know who did that. We received a call of a possible impaired driving leaving the White Point. The vehicle was located. Alcotester done on that person, and they blew a warning, which resulted in a 7-day suspension issued, and the vehicle was allowed to be driven by a sober driver. We had a complaint that a 10-year-old told a lady that a male had been sexually assaulting her. That file is still under investigation. Actually, the suspect has been arrested on that and is facing charges. Complainant reports a stolen 2010 white Mercedes-Benz from outside his business. There is no video surveillance. And the vehicle was recently purchased from an auction after being repossessed by Repo Depot. And we're still looking for that vehicle. We also attended a single vehicle rollover. The driver was traveling towards Highway 103 on the Port Medway Road. While taking a turn, stopped to or decide to light a cigarette while he was driving, lost control, and causing the vehicle to roll. Minor injuries to that. We received a complaint of a vehicle off the road in the ditch. EHS was on scene and transported the sole occupant driver to the hospital with minor injuries. And finally, a complainant requested a member attend to a location as a 54-year-old female was struck on a bike by a truck, and a ticket was issued to the driver. The injuries were minor.
Corporal Mero, the 7-day booze suspension, what is that on the breathalyzer?
It's a warn. That would be as a result of an alcotester, somebody blowing on the roadside screening device and blowing a warn. A warn is between 0.50 and 0.08.
So they're pretty darn lucky that they weren't
yes.
for a year. Thanks.
Other questions of Corporal Mero? Seeing these marijuana things, what happens if an individual finds, or if the RCMP finds marijuana growing on private land, and without knowledge of the actual land owner?
Well, it's still an illegal possession, but we can't lay any charges. We would just simply seize the marijuana because it is illegal, and no charges would be laid. It would just be destroyed.
I have some land in what is known as the dirt capital of Western Nova Scotia, Bear River, and I always worry about it.
I think you're probably safe, unless
Corporal
you
Mero, from the way he was smiling, I was going to ask him later whose land he's growing pot on.
Yes.
Councilor Waterman.
Could you pass it on to the musical ride people that it was very successful in that North Beach area, and people were very happy. It was a great turnout. I'm blown away by the second day. There was still almost as big as a crowd because it was the first day, and people really enjoyed it, and it was a good fundraiser for that group. Thank you.
I will ensure they get that message.
Great. It was a real success. I think the council was responsible for the weather, you, the RCMP for the ride.
Absolutely.
Any other questions of Corporal Mero? If not, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you. Have a good day.
The next item on the agenda, 3.2, is a presentation by the Society for Nova Scotians for Expanded Rural Economies. If you two would like to come forward, please. Okay, would you like to introduce yourselves, please?
Thank you, Your Worship, and councillors, and people in the public gallery and others. I'm Brock Junkin. I am the managing director of this particular society. Ed Pomeroy is the vice president of this society. It's a new society which has been formed to address the situation with the proposed wilderness protection area in the Medway Lakes Forest area. But since then, we've expanded it to include a general look at rural economies and how we, in the private sector, can move forward to protect that our rural economies and to enhance them. Let's see if I can find the right button here. Okay, there's a little background. In the interest of full disclosure, I just wanted everybody to know where we're coming from. I'm the secretary of the Lehigh River Trail Association. I'm a director with the ATV Association of Nova Scotia, and I'm also a member of the Central Nova ATV Association. So clearly ATVs are on my mind when I'm thinking about wilderness protected areas. Ed is the president of the Central Nova ATV Club. In terms of professional background, my métier and my training and has been economic development for the last 13 years, and I'm also a CMA, so I have a personal interest in matters of economic development. Our vision as an organization is to work together with the four levels of government to collaboratively move rural economies in a forward direction. In the last, from 1990 to 2013, as a province, our GDP, gross domestic product, has increased at a rate of 1.6% a year, which is the lowest in Canada. And so we have to change that around. We're going to provide a tax base to finance everything that goes on from a public service point of view. Our issue that we're addressing today, and there are many issues, but the issues that we're interested in now is the Department of Environment interest in taking the Medway Lakes Forest area and putting it under the Wilderness Protection Area. And here's a copy of the map that's involved, pretty sizable chunk. They've recently changed the borders. Recently, I mean Friday, they changed the borders. So we're not quite sure if it's 19,000 hectares, but it's certainly a big chunk of land. This is an up-to-date map. So that's our issue that we'd like to present. What this means is that there is absolutely no motorized use available on these lands. No bicycles, strollers, ATVs, of course, motorcycles, trucks, etc., etc. And they're reasonably firm on that. And what it means in terms of the designation is that decades of historical productive use ends. That area has been used in a productive way in the economy here in Queens County and in Annapolis County since 1929, when Isaac Walton Killam went to work and set up the Mersey Paper Company. It's also used as an access route. We go from down Lunenburg County all the way up to Annapolis County. Proposing to cut this area off, or had been proposing to cut this area off, which means in order to travel by ATV, we have to go around this way or around that way. In order to access this recreation area at Long Lake, we'd have to go around this way or around that way. There's a recreation area right in the middle here, Hendry Lake. Just up in this area, there's a war memorial site. Access to all these areas would be either denied in the case of Hendry Lake, or inhibited in the case of Long Lake, or in the case of the war memorial up here. Also, you're allowed to walk in these areas, I should point out, but as you get on in years, walking several kilometers into the woods gets to be a bit of a chore. So it's all right if you're a hale and hearty 28-year-old, but the rest of us might have some difficulty accessing those areas. And even if you're a hale and hearty 28-year-old and you have a family, to take them into Hendry Lake, a traditional recreation area, it's hard to drag along a couple of kids on foot. And finally, sustainable opportunities, business opportunities are lost. This is, if you look at Newfoundland, New Brunswick, Quebec, Maine, they all have pages of ATV tour operations. And they make use of these, you know, their beautiful landscape. New Hampshire's another one. They make use of their beautiful landscape to, in a managed way, to expose it to the public. In Nova Scotia, we have no tour operators. This is an excellent opportunity for tourism. And if we cut this off, then we cut off the loop going from New Germany, Springfield area, on up to Bridgetown, and down Annapolis Valley, and going the other way. So this is what we're talking about when we're talking about cutting off sustainable business opportunities. And also there are some harvesting opportunities that could be lost. There is the Medway Lakes Forest, Community Co-op, which has got contiguous land, and hopefully they'll make good use of that that area. But all that 19,000 acres takes it out in terms of sustainable harvesting. This is just a little bit of a map here, just to show you. These are existing routes here, managed routes I'm talking about, all of these areas here. This is the area we're talking about here,
It basically will cut us off from going up to Bridgetown and over to Middleton or down to the Annapolis Valley. And plus all of the, you know, if you're familiar with ATV routing, you'll know, that, or ATV tour groups, you know that they stop in places all along, and they eat meals, they stay in accommodations, they gas up, and so on and so forth. So, and we're hoping to have loops going right around here, and then right around up here, and then loops going there, and around this way, and so forth. That's what the ATV Association is working towards. And again, these are managed loops. These aren't Wild West runs through the forest, ignoring the rights of private landowners. We do this in conjunction with private landowners. Yes, Councillor?
What's the color-coded, the red versus yellow versus blue? What does that
mean?
Yeah,
there's... these are areas which we're still working on in terms of getting a landowner permission, or we're actually doing trails. So they're still working on there. Well, there are a few blind spots, but all of these various ATV clubs are working to fill in those blank areas. And again, the Little Hay River Trail Association, for example, this one going from up here to here, has been working on that since 2005. So they've been working at it for 10 years, and they've got about 70% along the way, and they're still moving in that direction. We find that as we put these trails into place, there's initial landowner hesitancy to give their approbation. But after they see the trail in operation and they actually start using the trail in operation, we find that the landowners are less reluctant to give us the go-ahead. The other thing about managed trails is they're covered by insurance. So if people are going, like ATVers, are going over private land, or others, motorcyclists or whatever, and they get into trouble, then the private landowner doesn't have the response, doesn't have the coverage of insurance. Go ahead, sir.
That yellow off the blue there, halfway up, that would be the Norfolk Field Trail Association. They are working on that now.
Yes.
The railway bridge, leads in the Calgon, so that could be part of that. But it's not only the ATV, it's the snowmobilers and the hikers, you know,
exactly.
And even people with half ton trucks or whatever.
Yeah.
They were discussing that Sunday.
Yeah.
And not only the ATVers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you raised another interesting point, Councillor, and that is the number of volunteer hours that goes into maintaining these things. Huge amount of volunteer hours. And so the solution, as we see it, is to continue to allow viable public access to the Medway Lakes Forest area along existing roadways and trails. And you can't see it from this distance, but it's just like a plate of spaghetti in here. Perhaps that's an overstatement, but not by much, of trails and so on and so forth, are all the way into that area. So we'd like to maintain existing access, but in a managed way. We're not talking about the Wild West. There are a lot of associations that are around that have proved their worth in terms of managing trails around the province, and that's the direction we'd like to go. Department of Environment has been advised of our interest in maintaining access. And our society, as I said here, will hold a public meeting, but we already held that public meeting up in Caledonia. And we weren't staffing the deck at all. We invited people from all stakeholder groups, government, ecology action groups, Medway Forest products, the Toby Act Reserve, and so on and so forth. Make presentations, and many of which did, and then we asked people to vote on what their preference was. And we provided them three options. One was to proceed with the wilderness protected area as put forward. The other was to proceed with the wilderness protected area but allow motorized access. And the other one was just to abandon the project altogether. And we asked them to to take red stickers and put it on their choice. So it was an informal ballot. So as you can, as Ed just pointed out, there was nothing there at all. The one that said proceed with the wilderness protected area, but allow motorized access. We see there's 77 dots on there. And then the one was said abandon the process altogether, which would mean leaving the lands with the Department of Natural Resources and allowing them to manage it. We had 166 dots there. So the 68% said get rid of the Wilderness Protected Area initiative altogether. The other 32% said allow the Wilderness Protected Area to go forward, but allow motorized access along existing trails. And there was nobody, including the various groups that represented Ecology Action Committee, the Tobiac group, the Mersey Forest group, nobody voted for the Wilderness Protected Area as it was initially put forward. Now, in the interest, again, of full disclosure, the Department of Environment have said, yes, they will allow an access route along here. So they've sort of backtracked to a certain extent, and they are going to hold a public meeting October the 6th up at Milford House, 6 o'clock in the evening, to receive further submissions. We will certainly be doing a summary of what went on Sunday, and we'll provide it to council as well as other people. So now, how the region of Queens can help? Perhaps providing a letter of support, allowing continuing viable access to this property. When we say viable access, we're all allowed access if we walk, but that's not viable access for families, it's not viable access for seniors, people with disabilities, and so forth. Also, we are allowed to hunt and fish on these properties, but we have to walk in if it's designated accordingly, and which is fine and dandy, as I said earlier, for Hale and Hardy, 28-year-old, you can carry your deer out that you harvest, but perhaps not very practical for the rest of us. And so I thank you, Your Worship, and councillors for taking your time here in this forum. If you have any questions, we'd be pleased to...
Questions, comments from councillors? Councillor Waterman.
To me, it's the road. A big part of the discussion subject was the roads. And the roads and trails are already there, so you're not... No one's saying that you have to make new roads.
Mm-hmm. No.
But if you just stay on the roads and not wander off the roads,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can't see too much of an impact environmentally.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the damage was already done when they built the road. But to me, it's missing out on a whole new experience. I mean, you could... It'd be nice to have picnic areas and things around some, you know, that people can stop and picnic and smell the fish. Or, you know, it's too bad, you know.
Yes, Councillor McLeod.
I often try to read information about ecotourism, and this would certainly fit into that category. And if the province recognized that that would be a very viable type of tourism opportunity, then they should look at all these accessibility options with these wilderness areas.
And in fact, the Mersey Paper Company, and subsequently Bowater Mersey, had two pocket wildernesses that I'm aware of. Which allowed an appreciation is if you shutter a wilderness, then we can't appreciate it, and it becomes devalued in our mind. But if we have access to it, then we really value the wilderness of which they're talking about, and an indication of how well this formerly private piece of property was managed is that they're now interested in making it into a wilderness protected area. Well, it's been managed for 80 or 90 years, since 1929, when IWK set up the operation. And if it's still and was in private lands and managed privately, and if it's still of interest for a wilderness protected area, clearly it's not such a bad thing if it's this access is allowed to continue, and again in a managed way.
I think I was going to mention that the Ivany report, Brock, maybe you can expand on that, recommended that Nova Scotia double what they're doing on tourism by, I forget what the year was, but...
10 years.
10 years. And I mean, this falls exactly in what you're talking about and what Brock has been talking about the circles around and the ATV tourism thing. I think that falls well in there.
I'd just like a comment about tourism. I know many years ago we never really recognized tourism as an industry, and now tourism, like, it has expanded and grown into a big, big viable industry, and we have to continue to expand that.
We don't have many other industries, do we?
Right.
The thing that
sorry.
I was just going to mention that, as Brock mentioned about the hunting, you can hunt, fish, and trap. But everything has to be done on foot. And when you consider people going up to these lakes, how are they going to get their canoes and that sort of thing up? And this is the argument we're making, is that a lot of people my age and older than me, we couldn't get...
And younger than you.
couldn't get their... without bringing it up on a truck or on a something else, ATV or something. I mean, they've got canoe routes all over these places. But to get to the canoe routes, how are you going to get in there? You can't carry them in there. Mm. And the requirements that they have are so rigid that it just makes it impractical to be able to do those things with what they expect. And just to give you an idea, this road here that they were really much against having put in, but the reason why they're doing this, putting this road in, or leaving it, going to leave it, exclude it, is because the other option, they want to take wood from up here, and they had to build a road, and the Department of Environment said they'd rather use an existing road than to build a new road, which makes sense. And that's the reason. Now, once they get their wood out, there's who's to say that they won't take this road out altogether.
Councilor Fancy.
Okay. This land we're talking about mostly is really the former Boart land, isn't it?
Exactly, yes.
So it seems to be... what percentage of protected land did we have before, and where are we going with this? This is the whole idea that if you're going to be protecting all this land, you're taking away access to other things. Why do we need that much more protected? I don't fully understand that.
Yeah, go ahead.
When it was first set up in the early 90s, Mayor Down actually was on the cabinet at the time, was thought to be 8% would be an appropriate level. Later, I'm not sure when, they thought maybe 12% would be an appropriate level. If this goes through along with the other ones that they've got planned, they have another 12 planned, incidentally, it will bring it up to 13.9%. And if you speak to the Ecology Action people, what they feel would be an appropriate amount is 17%. We're shuttering vast stretches of economically viable infrastructure. By taking 17%, and as Councillor McLeod pointed out, these are opportunities for tourism, and you can have pocket wildernesses, you can protect the environment, but you can also provide a living for people that are leaving the province. Thank you.
Everything's being hemmed in, there's the Kedji and there's the Toby Attic, and now you have this one. Soon you won't be able to go anywhere.
Other questions from councillors? Deputy Mayor Nolan.
Our clerk sent us a link to the Medway Lakes Wilderness area that the province has online, and because it's always good to hear both sides of the coin. And the province talks about how it would be a great recreational opportunity.
that it establishes a significant refuge for nature conservation. It covers expansive tracts of rolling hardwood hills, flats, wetlands, old growth forests, rare in Nova Scotia. The province talks about how they believe that that wilderness area will increase tourism by making it a significant wilderness area. They do talk about the West Branch Road, which they will leave open for public use. When Bowater had that land, it was gated and it was not available for public use, correct?
People have been using that area for...
It was gated. And it was gated and restricted lands. And you could go with permission. Personally, I don't feel it's wrong to have wilderness areas. We're not making more land and trees, and I believe it's one of the best things that Nova Scotia has to offer. And with the triage of with the three groupings of Tobiatic, Kedgy, and that wilderness area, and I know people disagree, but I believe it is good to keep large inland sections for on foot, on canoe, for those that walk. I mean, we all have the right to an opinion, and that's just my opinion.
I was just saying that's the problem, because how are you going to get up here?
It's a 7-day hike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To your point, and I recognize, and that's why I brought up the business about the pocket wildernesses. If we can't get in there to appreciate, then what you can't see is no longer relevant to your personal experience, and you can't, advocate on behalf of wildernesses if you can't actually get at that.
If I could,
Councilor Furlick is next. I think you didn't. What you want, and then to come back. You haven't had a chance yet.
I thought it was the task of the government to create a loop for ATVs, motorized vehicles, around Nova Scotia. Is that...
No.
Am I missing something, that the governments aren't working together to create that?
No,
is that not true?
The government's not working together. Most of the initiative about putting these loops around have all come from the ATV clubs.
Yes.
And totally.
But I thought in the last couple of years the government has actually changed their stance with the return of the ferry, that they wanted people to be able to come across in the ferry and be able to do a loop.
They may be with cars, but not with ATVs.
No. Okay. That's unfortunate.
Anybody who has not answered the question yet, Councilor Fisk?
I might sound stupid, but I don't understand why both couldn't be accommodated. I don't understand. Like you say, it's you can't get into it. I just don't understand why both.
We've been working with the Department of Environment for almost a year, trying to find some way to get this thing resolved. And the environmental people actually are very much opposed to this road that they, I think you mentioned about keeping it open. They're very much opposed to that. But because the government doesn't want to build a new road, they're going to use the old road. And as I say, once the woods are out, that'll be gone. But I mean, there's no way. If we go through there, we can't even go through. We can go through now, but if they close it all off, we're up in driving on paved roads. We're not allowed to drive on paved roads, so it just makes it impossible.
Deputy Mayor Norman.
No, I just meant to say, I have many friends that own four-wheelers, and I have many friends that don't own four-wheelers, and I have equal amounts of friends that like to go on those 7 and 12 day canoe hikes, mm-hmm. and fishing trips and camping trips. So
there's no reason why you can't do that. You can do both.
Well, if the West Branch will be there. You can.
I have a couple of questions.
Even with these trails and things, nobody said anything about cutting trees. It's just access, fishing, and
but access is the key.
But there's
for
no cutting trees or anything like that. It's just access. to that area or to that area. So I think right when I'm saying that this council is on record as encouraging economic activity, as being concerned that 19% of Queens County is protected. This is Annapolis County, almost all of it, in fact, all of it.
Yeah.
That we are concerned about the amount of land that has been taken out of production. We've written to government on that. I see the stance of this council as being supportive of this particular group, because whilst you want to use it for ATVs, I think it's just as important to be able to get fiber, to take all of that fiber out of production. Great, we need to protect areas that are special, and I would say that Hendry Lake is probably special. For those of you who haven't been there, there's an absolutely gorgeous white sand beach. To be able to get into it, to walk into it, is a real challenge. It's a long, long walk in, but it's an area that should be protected, and obviously beyond the green belts and so on. But to take all of that 38,000, almost 40,000 acres out of production, and put it alongside the Rossignol district, which is being protected, the Toby Attic area, and all of this, we hope to get a forest-based industry come back to Queens. And you take all that land out of production, it doesn't make sense. But we'll talk about a letter of support or whether we will do that later. But thank you for coming, and we appreciate the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, councilors and mayor.
Incidentally, how many people attended your meeting?
100.
100?
Yeah.
So, okay.
Thanks, gentlemen.
Thank you. Yeah. Up there in the top.
Yeah,
that's
great.
Nobody else can reach up there. Is that right, Peter?
Well, yeah, that's okay.
It's grown big out my way.
Thank you very much.
We'll see you guys
in
6.
Yeah. You see mine in there?
Okay, the next item on the agenda is item 4, the tabling of petitions. Is there anybody who has a petition that they would like to table?
Charles?
Charles? And hearing none, I will now throw the meeting open to questions from the public and comments. Is there anybody, all we would ask is that you give your name and civic address before you speak. Is there anybody in the public gallery that would like to address council? Don't be embarrassed, you did a great job last year.
Good morning, Honorable Mayor and Councilors. As you know from last year, my name is Ariel Mahoney and I'm 17 years old and a senior at Liverpool High School. And one of my hobbies is still 4-H. I've been in 4-H for 10 years now and I do livestock projects like rabbit, poultry for this year. And I have done other projects over the years like rabbit, poultry, goat, horse, and dog obedience. Last year, you and your councilors supported my turkey project. At Pro Show, I came in third out of 12 birds. There were 30 birds in total in there, but only the top 12 go to the auction. My turkey in total raised $1,200, and $300 went to the Truro Food Bank as Nova Scotia Power bought the bird and put it back in for auction. I took the $900 remaining and gave $450 back to my 4-H club. I put $450 in my savings account for school. This year I started off with 9 turkeys, 4 ending up as toms and 5 to choose for my project. I donated one of my toms to my club to raise money for my club during the Caledonia exhibition. We raised about $250. If I am successful at Pro Show, I plan on donating half of what I would get at auction back to my club again this year. Last year I gave a turkey to the Queens County Food Bank at Thanksgiving with a card explaining that it was being donated on behalf of the mayor and councilors for sponsoring my 4-H project. I was told it would go to a family of at least six people. If you were to sponsor me again this year, once again, I would give a turkey to the food bank on behalf of you, Honorable Mayor and Councilors. Besides giving back to my money to my 4-H club, I believe that giving back to others is important, and I am happy that this project allows me to do this. Thank you for taking the time to listen to me today.
Well, thank you for coming, because I remember last year your presentation and how impressed we were, and to think you've done all that with your money, we really appreciate it. I think you've appointed Councillor Inglis as your campaign manager to see what he might be able to pull out from us if we have a recess a little later on. Leave it in Councillor Inglis's hands, and we will see what we can do for you.
Okay. Ariel, so if you came and talked about something other than birds, he wouldn't smile at you that much. He just likes poultry.
That's great. We'd rather talk about turkeys and chickens, so that's great. Thank you. Okay, thanks a lot. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Ariel. I'll get that.
Anybody else like to address council? David.
Thank you, Mayor Clark. David Dagnan, and I'm at Conway in Liverpool. Thank you for the presentation today on the ATV access issue. For those councillors that may not be aware, the Medway Wilderness Area was agreed between the Department of Natural Resources and the Department of Environment almost 2 years ago, as all the other wilderness areas that are now in the final stages of being designated. It is not a new area that they have pulled into the air. It's one of the previous initiatives. The 17% initiative is a federal initiative in Ottawa promoted by the federal government. 12% was a provincial figure. It will, as they say, approach 13 with all of what they have designated. The Department of Environment, as Councillor Norman mentioned last week, has determined that they will leave that existing road open on the west side of the Medway River to provide access for the ATV groups and others to access from the south to the north to the valley. So I think they've accomplished most of what they had asked to do with that road being left open. For those that are not that familiar with wilderness area designation and mandates, roads are having a negative impact on wildlife and ecosystems. And that is why the Department of Environment has difficulty with leaving roads open. Leaving this one main artery road out meets the needs of the ATVs, and it also allows operation of access for others in that area. It's a difficult decision. Every wilderness area has its own issues. I think they're doing the right thing by allowing that road to stay open. As far as the forestry issue on the north, the province will not cut all of the trees and close that road in the near future. The province operates on a 100-year sustainability of harvesting, so the age of trees to maturity is between 60 and 80 years in that area. There will be continuous harvesting on ground land to the north of that road in that wilderness area. So I wouldn't be concerned about the trees being all harvested, turned into stumps, and the road being decommissioned. And I wanted to bring that forward. If you leave all the finger roads open, predators will use those finger roads. And if you look at it on the issue of predators and their impact to wildlife in wilderness areas, you've opened a highway for predators, which is what the Department of Environment usually does. They allow those small side roads to grow and focus. So I just wanted to put that perspective forward so that you'd be aware of some of the other smaller issues that impact decisions. On a separate note, my memory serves me correctly, back in July, August, there was some discussion that a proposed change to a bylaw would be coming forward in September regarding the chicken issue. I haven't seen anything on the agenda today, and I wondered if perhaps, Mayor Clark, if you could give us a quick update on where the municipality is at that point.
Yeah, it's still under consideration, and it's still being written by staff, as I understand it. Was there anybody else who'd like to address council? We held up the meeting for you, Leon. We waited. We couldn't believe you weren't coming. But
I made it.
Okay.
Thank you.
That brings us to item 6 on the agenda. And I would have entertained a motion to approve the minutes of the council meeting of September 8th. Councillor Prelick and Councillor Fisk seconding. All in favor? It's unanimous, and thank you. Dangerous and unsightly premises, I would ask Special Constable Hurley to come forward, please.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Good morning.
Oh, we need a motion, don't we? I'm sorry, I have to speak. I'll
recommend that the council declare the property located at 10446 Highway and Middleton Camp, Nova Scotia State, which is unsightly as defined in the New Civil Government Act, Nova Scotia, and that the council cause an order to declare the property owners located at 10446 Highway and Middleton requiring that within 30 days of the date of service of the order, the following work period at one, demolition of dwelling in unsafe buildings, two, well, two, the covered glass buildings, three, leveling the property, four, cleaning up of all debris and property disposed of, and five, cut grass. And that if the owners fail to comply with the order, the administrator may cause the requirements of the order to carry it out and all expenses incurred by the responsibility of the owners.
Is there a second to that motion? Councillor Fisk. Is there a Special Constable Hurley?
Thank you. 10446 Highway 8. Harmony Mills, Queens County, Nova Scotia. PID number 701-57052. This is a standard parcel of land bearing a mobile home and one oak building. The property has been vacant for many years and, in my opinion, abandoned. The initial formal complaint came to our office on Wednesday, April 15th of this year, as an apparent roof collapse, most likely caused by the previous snow loads of our past winter. The damages were not addressed by what we consider to be the noted property owners, and there's been no maintenance for several years. Several attempts via telephone proved negative regarding compliance. Many attempts via email proved negative regarding compliance. A registered letter dated July 17th of 2015 was returned to our office, apparently documented as an unknown address. Investigation with our various departments at the Region of Queens Municipality confirmed the same address that I had, which was the last known address. Another registered letter was sent on August 13th of this year in hopes of discussing the property issue, and still it too was returned to our office stating that the property owners had moved. I further made several telephone calls and sent further emails, still no compliance. The property remained in the very same condition. The property is considered dangerous and or unsightly. On September 11th of 2015, another registered letter was sent with a notice to appear before council on this date. This very same letter has since returned to our office, this time documenting an unknown address. It is imperative to note that the representations of this offending property are not here today. On September 11th at 1:27, I also posted the noted property with a copy of the last registered letter bearing tracking number RN078836581CA and entered a signed affidavit of service signed by a commissioner of the Supreme Court of Canada. As you can see, I have made every attempt to make contact with the property owners in order to remove the said condition. Therefore, that's my recommendation today, a full demolition of the mobile home, one oak building, and a cleanup of the property.
Councilor Inglis.
Kelly Ann, thank you for bringing this one forward. And obviously, it needs to go.
Yes.
It's really interesting. I've heard many times that you've been here and you've not been able to reach Darlene Norman and Bruce Inglis, but a finance company.
Right.
Really, really unusual.
They have absolutely. I have one email from the company that at one point in time confirmed that they have no record of this property whatsoever.
But they're showing as the assessed owner.
Absolutely. Yeah. The last known address, last known addressee.
Yeah, so how long have they been the assessed owner?
Many years.
Many years.
Yeah.
It would appear to me that it's time to take quick action on this. And
I do understand. I did speak with what is considered to be the previous property owners, and they vacated the property approximately 15 years ago.
Wow.
That's what I'm told.
Further discussion?
Question.
If not, the question has been called for. All in favor of the motion? It's unanimous. Thank you.
Thank you.
And that brings us to 7-2. Councilor Inglis.
I so move that the Council of the Region of Queens declare the property located at 15 Summer Street, Liverpool, Queens County, Nova Scotia, as dangerous and unsightly as defined in the Municipal Government Act of Nova Scotia, and that Council of the Region of Queens cause an order to be served upon the owner of the property located at 15 Summer Street, Liverpool, Queens County, Nova Scotia, requiring that within 14 days of the date of the service of the order, following work be carried out. Number one, mow lawn and continue to maintain on a seasonal basis. And number two, clean up garbage. And that if the owner fails to comply with the order, the administrator may cause the requirements of the order to be carried out and all expenses incurred by the Region of Queens Municipality become the responsibility of the owner.
Is there a second of that motion? Councilor Frelick. Discussion. Special Constable Hurley, please.
15 Summer Street, Liverpool, Queens County, Nova Scotia, PID number 7002-4906, is a standard parcel of land. This is a vacant lot that once displayed a dwelling that has since been demolished. This lot is situated behind the local Salvation Army Church on Summer Street in Liverpool and within a residential yet commercial area. The property, namely the grass, has not been maintained for the entire duration of spring and summer this year. It is recommended that the noted property is mowed and that the property owner maintains the same on a seasonal basis. Also, there's an accumulation of litter on the property that requires a cleanup. Once the grass is cut, the litter will be visible, therefore requesting the cleanup. This property is considered to be dangerous and unsightly. On Wednesday, September 16th, 2015, the son of the property owner, Mr. Donald Jeans, requested that I make contact with his office, with him from our office after receiving a registered letter sent to the property owner, Jane Marie Jeans. Mr. Jeans is not present in council today. However, at 8 o'clock this morning, I met Mr. Jeans on this very same piece of property, and Mr. Jeans has been diligently working to mow the said property. He worked yesterday for approximately 12 hours, and today he's hoping another 3 hours he will have it complete. I was going to have it removed from the agenda, but I feel that at this point in time an order is needed to ensure that this lot is maintained on a regular basis, seasonal basis. I will tell you that there is a contractor that will be attending the very same lot tomorrow to mow over what's already been cut, and that's Mr. John Godfrey.
Kelly, and so this will this give us the capacity next year to go ahead and have the contractors keep it cut, you know, the this one, and I'm quite happy to admit I brought this one forward to Kellyanne, and she's dealt with it really quickly. The last few years, it's the same story over and over again. So essentially, in a very well-kept neighborhood, they've lived with this grown-up lot, which is a great place for garbage and rodents to accumulate, and if this action enables us to not be September at the end of a season addressing it next year, then that's a really positive motion and will benefit that neighborhood greatly.
Absolutely, and these cases are coming forward to our office on a very frequent basis. I find that I'm making repeat phone calls to many property owners just to have the grass mowed. So that being said, I feel that it's something that needs to be looked into, that we have some type of responsibility to the property owner to ensure that this is maintained, and of course to our residents here in Queens.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Any further discussion? If not, I'd take the question. If you're ready for it, are you ready for the question?
Question.
All in favor? It's unanimous. Thank you.
Thank you.
That brings us to economic development.
Quickshank, Mopspan, give us a brief report of what she's been up to, and if there's any questions.
Good morning, everyone.
Just
to give you some highlights on our report this month, we've been working with 11 businesses, and in particular have been paying attention to trying to attract new businesses to Port Mersey Commercial Park to increase the vibrancy there, and have been given some people a tour of the facilities, which we find really brings to life to them the opportunity that's there. And we've had some encouraging visits so far. Three of those potentials were for that purpose. On the rural internet file, we've had a conversation with Bell Alliance. They have been remarkably quiet throughout this whole rural internet that's been in the press over the last few months. We did have a good discussion with the communications manager there and made some requests for information, which we're starting to see some of that information come through, but really we wanted to know if they have any plans to improve their services or expand what they already have further out into the rural areas. We've also been dealing with a small provider who has been very cooperative, working with us on a number of scenarios which could service those areas in the rural community that have a critical mass of people that are struggling, particularly with their internet service. So we hope to bring something forward to you in October on that subject. Just a timely reminder, because the climate data study presentation is actually tomorrow afternoon at Wiles Lake Farm Market at 1 o'clock. It's open to anybody in the public who wishes to go. On the events front, the Lighthouse Rally took place on September the 12th and 13th. It was a two-day event this year. Unfortunately, the weather didn't altogether cooperate on the second day, but still there were a lot of people touring the lighthouses and taking in all the different events that were going on, and it seemed to be well received. My head's up on a future event called the Corvette Colors Rally. It's the weekend after Thanksgiving, and this has been created by a local community member who's created a two-day event for members of the Corvette Owners Club around bringing them here for the fall colors, and he's hoping to get a display set up of the vehicles in downtown Liverpool on a Saturday afternoon. And on the Sunday, they will make their way up Route 8, where the colours are particularly nice. And we've encouraged them to stop off in Caledonia and maybe have lunch there before they disperse their tour. South Shore Tourism team has been busy. There's a link there to their updated newsletter. And they have a partners meeting taking place on Wednesday, October the 14th at the Black Loyalist Heritage Centre in Birchtown from 1 to 3. So tourism partners are welcome to attend that meeting. Management Without Borders...
Excuse me, let me interrupt there for a second. If anybody hasn't been to the Black Loyalist Heritage Centre, I would certainly recommend you go. They've done a great job there. Interesting to see, too, to trace some of the well-known black families in Liverpool, to check their antecedents too. Sorry.
No, I agree. It's very, very exciting to have that in our area for sure. So on the Management Without Borders project, where this is phase two of the project we did last year with Dalhousie University, and the aim was to promote Ruislip as an adventure tourism destination. It's quite timely in view of earlier discussions in this meeting today. So this time it's a new team of folks. The project is going ahead. We found out yesterday there was enough interest from the students in it. It's a multidisciplinary team, and they're enthusiastic about the second phase, which we're hoping to get a marketing strategy for that area and the cluster of businesses in that area, accommodations and adventure tourism operators. That work will be completed and delivered in early December. On the visitor services front, August was a very good month for Fort Point. They had the 160th birthday celebrations, and they didn't get large numbers for their trial evening opening, but I think the idea is to try to encourage others to be open in the evening so that visitors can, after they've had dinner, there's something for them to do in the downtown, and it fits in well with the activity we're trying to build in the old town hall as well. The Visitor Information Centre in Liverpool and Caledonia were busy too, pretty much on a par with last year. Liverpool again noted a lot of visitors from Quebec. Most of them were first-time visitors, which has been the target for the province this year, is trying to attract more first-time visitors. Also, US visitors were up 13%, and there were double the amount from the UK compared to 2014. Anybody got any questions?
Any questions of Jill? Any comments that legitimately fall under economic development? Yes, Councillor Inglis.
It's legitimate.
Jill, the VIC numbers back to, what was the last year of the Yarmouth Ferry? Was it 09?
Yeah.
Are we back there yet?
I have to check. Because they've disappeared off of our five-year radar.
Right.
I'd have to get back to you on that.
Okay, I'm just curious.
Yeah.
Yeah. And certainly the numbers are moving in the right direction
mm-hmm.
at a time that, there's things working against VICs, like, find out from your cell phone and such. So
yeah.
I think we're doing a pretty good job of getting people into them
mm-hmm.
to see them
mm-hmm.
sort of slowly rising. So.
Yeah. And a lot of the visitors are traveling as couples nowadays, we're finding.
I noted that, as opposed to
families. So maybe the families are using the technology, the couples are still.
Because they have 12-year-olds in the back seat and have to do it.
Councillor McLeod.
Jill, under the Management Without Borders project, and that is the Route 8, and it says here marketing, they're putting together marketing strategy, and that it will be delivered in early December. Is that delivered to our region, or is this part of Annapolis and Queens, where Route 8 goes into both counties? How does this work?
Well, it's something that is our initiative that we've taken forward. This is the second year.
Mm-hmm.
For Queens, certainly, there's always the opportunity to partner with, as we did in the past, when we did the Kedgy Scenic Drive project, we had partnerships with Annapolis Royal, and I think this grouping does take into account like the Kedgy Parks Canada and the Wilder restaurant, which is just over, the border into Maitland Bridge there. So there we're sort of encompassing them in the
in the whole area.
Yeah.
Deputy Mayor Norman.
Wasn't on your note because it was last month. But just a reminder to guests and other people that next month is the ukulele Kaylee again, and so we'll be strumming those ukuleles, those that strum them, and those that don't, we'll just be listening to them, and it's another great event. It's another great event for Liverpool and Queens County. So I hope that there'll be lots of media release and information coming forward during the next month from that group and other people related to that organization.
Councilor Fancy, sorry. I gave you a promotion and I didn't mean to. I apologize to you, Deputy Mayor.
It's like having a family of seven kids. You've got to try to rattle them all off to get down to them. I don't know if this falls into this area or not, but I know that because I know Richard has has been working at with over the Queen's Place in particular. I see when you go there, look at the that screen, it just keeps flying. And I was over there the other day looking at it, thinking, well, how would I ever be able to get a phone number off there? Because it just keeps moving and moving and moving and moving. So if I were a tourist coming in, it would be very difficult to try to get anything like that. Are they going to be touch sensitive? Are you going to have a map that would show you where different things like the Rosignol Cultural Center and stuff, where you could be able to look at that map and say, there's Rosignol Cultural Center, here's the museum, here is this, that would give you just a downtown, and that people could, and I always say too, I'd love to be able to see the same thing over the town hall. Mm-hmm. So you're walking over town hall, you look in there and have that touch sensitive mm-hmm. thing that you could be able to know and wouldn't be missed.
Well, it's fair to say that there's been some technical challenges with our plans to make that touch screen, which, you know, still can be addressed. But there should be, beside that, actually pick up and go brochures for people which have the listings in them. So, you know, although that does go quite quickly, that presentation, and that's really just so that if people see something they want, they don't have to wait, you know, 10 minutes for it to cycle around. Again, it's a fairly quick cycle, but there should be the grab and go brochures beside. So
it's so much more visual. Like say if I want to get pizza and I looked in and I said, well, I gotta wait that next time to get, okay, what was the phone number? It would be so we're in a generation of that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be far more effective.
Mm-hmm.
Other comments? If not, I should report that Deputy Mayor Norman, the CAO, Richard McClellan, and I met with the Minister of the Environment, Andrew Younger, and some of his staff to discuss the problems at Carter's Beach. In particular, we were talking about the lack of parking and the plugging of the Carter's Beach Road and the lack of toilet facilities. And during the course of the meeting, we were informed that it's the intention of the Department of the Environment to improve the cul-de-sac at the end of the Carter's Beach Road so that large RVs will be able to turn there, and so they don't have to back up through the Carter's Beach Road and all that plugged traffic. In addition, there will be 9 parking spots in that area. They maintain their stance of not wanting to encourage and perhaps even discourage people from using Carter's Beach. Insofar as toilets were concerned, they suggested that the best thing for people to do is to go to the Portmartoon Wharf, where there is toilet facilities. I'm serious that they have no intention of putting in toilets there. There was a discussion about refuse and garbage, as one of the residents down there had picked up 8 bags of garbage one day, and the suggestion was made that if you took away the garbage receptacle, then people wouldn't leave their garbage down there, they'd take it home with them.
That's true.
Really? That works?
We had, the media's here, but it was not a very encouraging meeting. We left we suggested that perhaps we could form a joint committee to discuss problems there, rather as we had done in the Rat Owl Park some years ago. That wasn't met with much favor. Natural resources have a significant role to play, and we will go ahead and see if we can meet natural resources to perhaps redefine the borders of the wilderness area that's being discussed. For example, the beach visitors, by and large, don't have any interest in the dunes unless it be for toilet purposes. So you could have the, and I think this is the feeling of the residents down there, Deputy Mayor Norman, you can correct me, that if you were to exclude the beaches from the wilderness area and provide better access to the beach, people would respect the wilderness area for the dunes, which is where there are some rare plants and so on. So I just wanted to report on that. Not one of our best meetings with a cabinet minister, I can tell you that. It's, you know, usually you come away having found some common ground or some area where you think you can move to help resolve the problem. I personally did not have that warm, fuzzy feeling when I came from that meeting.
However, we did make some gains in that we did speak about the need for student staffing or someone to be at that beach 7 days a week to patrol it and inform and educate people regarding the not collecting live sand dollars and staying out of the dunes and things like that. And I must say, I've always been skeptical when Environment said, you know, you take out the garbage can and people won't leave the garbage. But Richard commented, because he's familiar with places where that happened, and he said it's true. A garbage can tells people will pick up the garbage.
Yep.
So even when it's full, they'll still just pile it everywhere around. Mm. No garbage can and good signage about it's a protected area, et cetera, the majority of people will take away their garbage. And as you all know, while the residents, yes, do want people to use their beaches, there's also been great discussion about how much parking do you put in? Because there'll never be enough parking. So it's a delicate situation there. It's a great economic, you know, it's a beautiful area. But yet, you don't want to turn it into a Caribbean beach umbrellaed, you know, 147 vehicles on a Sunday. It's a lot of people for that area. So it's, and Environment did say they spent, you know, they plan to spend a fair amount of money, which they usually don't do on places like proposed protected areas. And it would be DNR that would have to, if it was going to become Park or Somerville or anything like that, and then you shudder because you look at Somerville and you think, do you want them over there doing what they, you know? So it's I suggested that maybe it be part of one of our 150th plans.
Councilor Inglis.
I don't want to hold on this too long because we've sort of gone off Joel's report, but I really appreciate some of the things that you said, and I hope we can push to that direction in that, you know, I think that I know people that are lifelong residents of HRM that drive to Carter's Beach. So people are always going to go to Carter's Beach. I'd like them to do it as safely as possible in terms of access. And again, they're going to come and there's going to be fecal matter in the dunes as long as they don't address. So if, you know, the best way to address the protected plant life and such and any birds that are using the dunes is to not give people a reason to go up in those dunes. So, you know, I think you made some great points there, and I hope we can continue to push those.
It's a significant challenge because, let's face it, people know about Carter's Beach. There was a decision made some years ago, I understand, that they wouldn't promote Carter's Beach, and yet the executive assistant to the Minister of the Environment had written a book on Nova Scotia's best beaches and included Carter's Beach in there.
the only beach he put in Queens County. He didn't even put Kedgy Seaside. It's the only beach that he noted in his newly released book.
Okay, any more on that? I just wanted you to know that we have been sort of pushing ahead with that. Okay, corporate services, Councillor Fisk, do you have anything to bring to our attention? Engineering and Works, Councillor Waterman, do you, do you have a word on perhaps progress in Brooklyn?
Have you any idea how
It's progressing. We've been going through rock. We're coming towards the end of the rock. We'll have a few more weeks of progress. I can't remember specifically where that will take us to, but we'll pick up from where we finished off in the spring. So we'll make sure we have a better update next week.
Okay. Thank you. Under finance, Councillor Inglis, we have two motions.
Yes, thank you, Mayor Clark. The first motion is, I so move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve a cost of living increase of 1.3% effective September 21, 2015 to all non-unionized, full-time, and part-time employees, bracket, except Hillsview Acres, as they are directed by Department of Health, bracket.
Is there a seconder for that motion? Councillor Fisk. Discussion, Jennifer Heller.
The average over the last number of years has been around 2%, hence the reason we've budgeted. So the 1.3, where both Nova Scotia and Canada's cost of living were under the 2%, we went with the 2% with the 1.3 for Canada, and our budget fully covers it because we've budgeted for 2.
Discussion by councillors.
This, of course, is an annual item that Jen's department brings through to us. It's, as Jen pointed out, it's budgeted, actually coming in under budget this year, and keeps our staff salaries in line with the scales they were set up on. So it's, while it's important to bring it forward, it's a pretty straightforward item.
And we should note, I think, and correct me, Jen, if I'm wrong, that staff salaries receive individual consideration on their anniversaries of employment.
Merit on performance merit. Appraisals is 3%. If they've not reached the top of their scale, if they've reached the top of their scale, then COLA is the only increase they would receive during the year.
Thank you. Are you ready for the question on the motion? All in favor? It's unanimous and thank you. That brings us to 12-2.
Yes, Mayor Clark, and this is brought forward by the Bursary Selection Committee. I so move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approves a one-time increase of $200 to the regular bursary amounts awarded in 2015 to each of this year's two qualifying applicants.
Seconded by Councillor Waterman. This really is a housekeeping item. The committee made the decision unanimously in committee, and in order to have the right paper trail, I guess we may have put the cart before the horse, and we have been reprimanded for it, but in any case, that's there it is. We give out $2,000 bursaries. It means that we are still $400 under budget. What happened was there was no applicant for the adult education bursary. Normally there are three bursaries, $800 a piece, and because there was no applicant for the adult education bursary, it gave us the opportunity to bump the other two up to $1,000 each. Councilor Frelick, you were there. Go ahead.
Is there an actual policy that says that it's $800?
I think there's a policy, but I think that we can review that as we move into budget considerations for next year, because I think you and I don't know about Deputy Mayor who sits on the committee, but you and I at least are of a mind that we should do $1,000. Further, Councillor Inglis.
My point was just going to be that we should modify the policy, even that if there's one that doesn't come, that we're able to dole out the extra money and get that scholarship money out without Jennifer having to redden your fingers and have you come back to council.
policy's been in place for a number of years. It was modified back in 1994. It came forward from the previous county of Queens. It came forward as a Scobie Award.
Right.
It used to be in place, and then the Region of Queens took it on in their regular budget, and then upon amalgamation, of course. It was $750 each up until 2003 when it was raised to $800, and I assume it was done through regular budget process,
right.
The $800. So I'm sure during budget deliberations we can have that discussion.
And we enjoy every chance you get to discuss.
And you had a better mayor at that time. He did. Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All in favor? It's unanimous. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
Recreation and Community Facilities, Councillor Frelick. Oh my gosh, we're going to have to think here. Okay.
Yes, we've got a lot to talk about.
So the first one is for naming the town hall.
Before we get started on that, I just wanted to mention a couple things.
Sure.
First, we have Ian James coming up as part of our summer concert series on Wednesday night. And this is an amazing musician that we're very lucky to have in Liverpool. So we're hoping to see people come out to that. And the following week is Porthouse, which is a band which consists of the original Sandy Road members, some of the members from, Susan will remember.
Way back when.
way back. But they're doing great things, and they're going to be
I remember Susan, too.
They will be performing next week, Wednesday night. And that's a really important one because it's got some local connection, and so we're hoping people come out for that one, because that will, when we start looking at this for the next sessions and seasons, it'll be important to know the numbers for that. So, after talking to the mayor on one item, the Trestle Trail extension, we have not been successful in getting the funding for that. So I'd like to suggest that we put it on next week's agenda to talk about the Trestle Trail extension, and I know that Norm is going to be doing some work on that and to see if we can make that happen regardless. So, and the second part is I would also like to add the Trestle Trail Bridge for discussion at the next council meeting as well, to have it go on record that we'll be talking about that. And our direction with that.
Okay, so now we have a couple of motions. Are you done your list of things? The first is the town hall, names for the town hall. We have five to choose from. Norm.
We received 40 submissions over the course of the contest period. They were reviewed by CAO Richard, Jill, and myself. And we do have some suggestions, as the mayor indicates. We excluded some things, such as people, living or dead, any reference to the Astor Theater, because they already have their own identity, and rightly or wrongly, we excluded names that didn't convey a sense of place or a sense of functionality with the old town hall. So that being said, we divided it into sort of five categories. Ones that reference the town hall, Liverpool, the Mersey, Queens, or privateer or privateering, and there are five suggestions therein, sort of one from each category. I guess it's germane to note that council has the right to not, you know, to accept or debate any of these other names, but we kind of struggle with it because we really didn't sort of know where to go with that. So. If you're ready, Mr. Mayor, to jump right to the voting, we have ballots. If you want to discuss it further, we as staff are obviously seeking direction in this matter.
Are you ready to vote? Yes,
I have a question. I understand we always do the volunteers thing, secret ballot, because we don't want to sit and discuss people publicly. But I wonder why we have to do this one, secret ballot. Why can't we sit and public discuss the merits of these names?
You can discuss them if Deputy Mayor until the cows come home, if that's what council would like to do. But at some point...
We have to make a decision.
We're going to make a decision, and it's been staff's recommendation we cut to the chase and do it by ballot. But if you'd rather do it another way, Councillor English, you would...
Well, we can hold our ballots up. I'm happy to do that.
How do you want to do it? Are you ready for a ballot? Would you like to talk about names? Councilor Frelick.
I'll talk about names. When we started this, we were looking for a name that reflected a new era of the town hall and something that kind of made people understand what we were looking for. I don't see any of that here. I see five names that are kind of regurgitated names. It doesn't really say that we're moving forward and we're creating an exciting place. So for me personally, this has kind of not worked.
I think in fairness, Councilor Frelick, that was one school of thought. There were other schools of thought that were more traditional. So there were a balance of schools of thought there. Deputy Mayor Norman?
I guess I kind of echo what was said. Thinking that I had to choose, I looked at them all and I thought Merseyside Cultural Center, MCC, be great for posters, be easy to design, good signage. I mean, it is Merseyside. It is the Mersey. It kind of connects the people, Milton and everybody else. It's not strictly Liverpool. It doesn't have that Liverpool name in it. But, it's the process we went through and it's what people gave us, so.
Just like to ask for advice from the Director of Economic Development. Isn't Merseyside connected with Liverpool and the Beatles? Usually, I mean, wouldn't it be...
So we can't do Merseyside?
Yeah, I mean, I think it should be Mersey rather than Merseyside, but I...
Mersey Culture Center?
I'm not hung up, but I'm... Nor am I trying to prejudice you, your choice in any particular way. Who would want to come in next? Councillor Waterman, Councillor Fisk?
I would like to see it as a Queens County. It's, you know, it's not just Liverpool now.
Mersey.
The whole county supports it, so it should be Mersey. A broader name rather than a town name.
So are you suggesting, Councillor, that item 2 be struck from the list?
Yes.
Is there an objection by any councillor to striking item 2 from the list?
Good.
He comes in swinging.
2's gone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Councillor Fisk.
I just want to go back to Brian's, Councillor Braley's comments. I understand where he's coming from, but this is we've asked people of the region of Queens throughout the region to come up with names, so I think we have to go along with that. I just want to make that comment to make sure that people understand that I really feel strongly that we have to go with what's there.
Anybody else want to speak? Councilor Fancy.
And it's all of what you want to try to portray in all these things. I still like the words of town halls because I like to be able to still reflect on what it is, and that's where then that's its location.
It is designated as a heritage building as a town hall. That's the justification for the heritage status. I think I'm right. Aren't I there, Norm?
That's correct.
Bruce.
I made a suggestion, and mine didn't even make the top 5, probably didn't make the top 30. But I like, out of this list, and again, we did go to the community, so we said we would do, and this is what they came up with. It's one of the times we've gotten feedback on something. In this list, I agree with Peter, I don't want to call this Liverpool. We do want a name that's pertinent to where it is. It is on the Mersey, and the Mersey belongs to the community. It comes from his neck of the woods and dumps out in Liverpool Harbor. So, you know, Mersey Cultural. I like the word cultural better than culture. I don't know why. Mersey Cultural Center to me is a leader in that list. Privateer. I've been known to try and leverage that name in the past. I think we've got the privateer at the museum, and they've done a bang up job on that. There come times when we say we're under branding privateer. I don't think privateer is right for this. I think this building comes, I don't know the timing on the building, but after the privateering era is, I certainly stand to be corrected. But it's, you know, we built this community around the Mersey River. The Aboriginal people built their communities around the Mersey River. I think it's a great name to build what we're trying to build there going forward. So that would be my preference off of that list.
Anybody else like to speak? Susan?
I feel that we should still have some recognition of the existing town hall status. And I like the Town Hall Arts and Cultural Center, but I often feel that a lot of us still reference it as the Old Town Hall. And I know there was one suggestion, the Old Town Hall Cultural Center. So if we could just put the name Old Town Hall Arts and Cultural Center might be appropriate.
Councilor Fisk, Councilor Norman.
Just, I like the thought of maybe leaving the town hall, but somehow bring the word region, because we're all one region. I understand also the town hall was before us as a region, so I don't know. I like the town hall.
It was the site of many pitched battles between the Liberal town of Liverpool and the county of Queens.
Like
23%, as I remember the report, 23% of staff time was spent trying to get the better of the other staff. How do you want to go from here? Are you agreed that number two comes out and you've got the other four? Are you prepared to vote on the other four?
Yes.
I've got one nod. Any more nods?
Should we get rid of the privateer?
I'm getting one looking over the glasses. Do you want to vote on it? Okay.
So is it Mersey Cultural? Is it Mersey Cultural Center?
So let's define it then. Town Hall Arts and Cultural Center, Mersey Cultural Center, Queens Community Arts Center, Privateer Center for the Arts. Do you want all three in there? All four in there?
Do you want to get rid of the privateer one?
What?
Anybody object to getting rid of the privateer one?
I would
be toss the privateer?
Yes.
Okay. So now we're down to three. We've got numbers 1, 3, and 4 with the modification to 3 to Mersey Cultural Center.
Yeah. And why I like Mersey is because I know how to say it, but I've heard it on the radio pronounced as Mercy. So just a thing to keep in mind if you're going to vote for that, that you're probably going to get Mercy. When you do
only when you come to pay the bills. Okay, does that help?
So we just pick one name?
1, 3, or 4. Yep, one name.
1, 3, or 4.
We'll go with simple majority, unless you really want to prolong the excitement.
Remember, you've got 8 people. We've got different names on the Liverpool tilt.
But just, it's Mersey.
It's Mersey Cultural Center. No
Mersey
arts
Cultural
there.
Center, instead of Mersey Side Arts and Cultural Center.
Yeah, no arts in there.
Mersey.
No art in this.
Mersey
Culture. The thing is out.
Is a secret ballot.
Who cares? Here, Norm.
You will talk about something.
What's the difference?
Why does
ours have an S on it?
I feel about that.
Heather's going to count them.
This is scrutiny.
Don't pull the
line.
Yeah, we
voted.
And the mayor
has
failed.
Okay, I thought
Chris Ball Hall would get more traction. Chris Ball Hall. And then there was the Bollywood.
I like the Bollywood area.
That's based on Chris Ball Hall.
Whilst the scrutineers are going over the ballots, can we move ahead to 12-2, Councilor Frederick?
I so move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve a sport travel assistance grant of $250 to Zachary Ham to participate in the 2015 National Under-14 Boys Soccer Tournament in St. John's, Newfoundland, to be funded from the Community Grants and Budgets Programs Budget Line of Recreation and Community Facilities Department.
Second. And seconded by Councilor Fancy. No,
by policy, we can support up to $250 for Zachary. We have the appropriate documentation from Soccer Nova Scotia that confirms that he's part of a team that won a provincial championship and is moving on. By policy also, the destination prescribes the amount to which they are eligible. Mm-hmm. So in the case of a single athlete or an athlete as part of a team, $250 is the maximum for travel to Newfoundland. And the grant application was written a little funny because it kind of put the overall cost of the team, but you can also see in the right-hand column there's responsibility for travel and accommodations, which is certainly the case when teams travel. So I would have no hesitancy in recommending the maximum for Zachary from our sport travel program.
Thank you. Are you ready for the question on the motion?
Question.
All in favor? It's unanimous. Thank you. Now could we ask the clerk to give us the results?
You've been anticipating, waiting for. We're happy to say that there was 4 votes for Mersey Cultural Center, and 4 votes. So based on that result, what I would suggest is that you remove Course Queens Community Arts Center from your list, and that leaves you with the two.
No, that's right. And the deciding.
And then you have to do a vote. Now you may want to just have further discussion on that, because we don't want to do another 4-4 again. But
we won't do, because there's 9.
What was it having?
Whoever voted for the other one,
we can just change the order.
4-4.
4-1, 4-3.
Oh, there's 8 of it.
It's not the same.
4-4. Draw out a hat.
No matter how you draw it.
That's flip the other four. Option you can have.
Or crystal ball. See what.
Aren't there 9 of us?
Just pick one.
Oh, whoops, yeah, there's 8 of us.
Yeah, there's 8. Of course. You're
not probably everybody would like the... you know
I'm being lobbied like mad.
No!
I'll do the old town hall. I'll switch a vote to town hall.
There you go.
Because people in my area call it the town hall.
There you go.
Well then, the way we will finalize it is somebody will move that the new name for the building be, whatever you, and then if it's seconded and voted upon, that's what we will do.
Town Hall Arts and Cultural Center.
You're moving?
I'm moving that we name the existing building Town Hall Arts and Cultural Center.
The seconder for that motion. Councillor Fisk. All in favour of the motion? Contrary minded.
I use a bearing down for the people of the Mersey River.
It's carried by a vote of 6-2.
The Mersey 5 groups.
And we deviated from policy of having a written motion, but I think in this case, Deputy Mayor, my conscience, can we get away with that? Thank
you. It's not life and death.
Until I go to the... somebody.
Okay.
I'm not sure who, but we might find out.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, just for record, official record, the winning, the person who submitted that name, Loretta Cook.
Loretta Cook.
Yeah.
Was there a prize?
There was a $100 gift certificate for something. Rather.
Really? Was it?
Loretta Cook.
Loretta. Oh, Loretta. Oh, good. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
So do you give her a tax receipt and give the money to her?
I wouldn't.
She's going to invest it with her husband's company.
Okay, thank you.